joining us now on the All About Symbian podcast from Symbian and a very interesting 10th birthday present after the formation of the company, David Woods. Hello, David.
Hello, nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. I seem to remember 10 years ago trying to speak to you about the launch of Symbian as it spun out from Scion. You seem to be making a habit of this.
Oh, 10 years is a long time. I don't know what's going to be happening in another 10 years' time. But yes, it's quite an event.
Talk us through what's actually happened here.
So we've been thinking for a long time that we need to make some changes to the way in which the Symbian smartphone software gets developed and used. Although we've been very successful and we've built into a tremendous position, we can see that there's needs inside the marketplace for even faster innovation and even more collaboration. There are more and more players who want to become part of this space. More people want to use smartphone technologies, more people who are hoping that Symbian software can evolve in different directions, and they all want a double quick time. And we've taken a look and we've thought hard and long and discussed with the shareholders, and we've taken the view that a certain number of changes will actually bring us faster and quicker to that goal. And the changes are, first of all, to make it much easier for people to access the source code right across the board. So that's the drive towards open source. And secondly, to bring about a closer working relationship between Symbian's development teams and the development teams in S60. And hence, that's the acquisition by Nokia of Symbian. So and the development teams will take place.
I mean, that's one question. Why go for Nokia to acquire the technology and then give it back? Why not have Symbian just put it straight into the foundation and everybody else put their technologies in? What was the need for that intermediate step for legal reasons or for more practical development time reasons?
I think it's quite a complex picture. We looked at many ways in which this might happen, and this seems to be the best way forwards. We also want to get this very close working relationship between the Symbian development teams and the Nokia S60 development teams. Although historically it's been a good relationship, it's clear that actually we could go even faster if there weren't some of the barriers which naturally arise from there being two separate companies. So joined together with that removal of that separation is a trigger for faster development.
And on that timeline, there's the aim to open source within two years. But before that, there's going to be this step of royalty-free for the members of the foundation, correct?
Yeah, so we can't go straight away to open source because a lot of the code has got contractual obligations coming from third parties, which we've bought in or licensed in the past. And I say a lot. I think it's a small proportion of the overall code, but we've got to take our time working through it. We absolutely must respect the contracts that are coming with the code that we've taken. So we've said cautiously this could be quite a long time, and in the extreme up to 2 years. Personally, I really hope we can do that faster, but let's not over-promise right away, and hence that conservative timescale that's been talked about.
But in the meantime, it will go royalty-free once the foundation is in place.
Yes, so people who are inside the system who join into the foundation will have access royalty-free, correct?
That will obviously be for the latest version of Symbian OS. Does this announcement do anything with the older technologies like Symbian OS 9, 8, 7, 6 and going back? Or is it literally we're going to draw a line here and at OS 9.3 will be the one that's part of the foundation and everything going forward?
I think it's 9.4, actually, that the foundation will start with. It will be binary compatible with 9.4 and essentially binary compatible, therefore, with all the version 9 releases. We haven't actually worked out all the details, I'll be frank about this, exactly how all the previous releases will be supported and so forth, what royalty fees will apply. I've got ideas, but I think we need to just take a little bit more time to check and discuss, and we will, as the planning proceeds, we'll be able to give more of an explanation as to how it's all working. But we see the big picture is very clear, and that's where we're going.
I mean, Symbian, as you've always stressed in all your conference meetings, and in fact, Symbian right across the board has stressed it, the roadmap for the OS is very well mapped out. I mean, this, you know, creating an open source, sanitizing it, as it were, going through all the licenses, does that slow down the roadmap, or is there a roadmap that nobody's seen outside of Symbian that actually says, well, this is all the engineers that will do the open source stuff and the licensing and everything?
So you raise a very important point, which is that these activities must not actually slow down the commitments that customers are already depending on. So that's a fundamental aspect to our planning, that the release of 9.4, the release of 9.5, and future versions after that, all the technologies that are bundled with it, and all the customer engagement commitments that we've made, all of these will be kept, despite the additional work to look at the transfer into the new open source world.
And the size of the open sourcing as well, I mean, it's something Symbian has done before with previous projects, but Symbian's never done anything on this scale before, some 7 million lines. I don't think any company has done a previous commercial to open source in the scale of the Symbian OS.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's not just 7 million lines of code from Symbian OS, of course. There's probably a lot more from S60, and there's significant contributions too from components from UIQ and from MOAP from Japan. So it's probably more like 30 million lines of code when you add everything. Indeed, it's probably unparalleled in terms of the contribution. It's a tremendous undertaking.
I mean, there are people out there who are going to say, I mean, the two common reactions we're seeing is, oh, Nokia have won, as if it's some sort of gladiatorial competition. And the second one is, oh, this is just a knee-jerk reaction to Google Android. How would you answer those?
Well, it's not a knee-jerk reaction, because we've been thinking about it in various ways for almost as long as Symbian's been founded, but certainly in the last few years, as we've thought about what do we need to do next. The direction has been clear. The actual timing seems exactly right in terms of the whole marketplace heating up, and in terms of smartphones moving to mainstream. So it's a natural growth of the processes that have been taking place for quite a while. So Nokia have done very well. I think that's clear. Nokia isn't, of course, the only successful licensee of Symbian by any means. We have sold, I think, it's about 35 million phones in Japan. Which Nokia has made only a very small contribution towards that number. But you know, Nokia has done very well, and Nokia has shown great industry vision by deciding that a rising tide will lift all boats. The benefits of pushing out the software, even more of a standard than before, accessible to the whole industry in due course as open source, that will consolidate the status of the software that Nokia are using, and it will allow a whole lot of other innovation to take place by all the other partners. There's more people at, the press conference yesterday from more different companies, much more, than we've had at any press conference in the history of Symbian. So it's not just one company standing up with us. It's I think it's about 20 companies represented in that initial press release, and I think 10 companies taking part in the press conference.
I mean, certainly the partnership element is still there, and of course everybody is putting something into the foundation in some format, is my understanding.
The intent is that people will naturally be drawn to make commitments to the foundation in terms of the code that they write. And so we may have various lower-level adaptation layers provided by some of the silicon manufacturers, for example. And anybody who makes an adaptation to the software will be strongly motivated, I believe, to share that adaptation so that they don't end up with an incompatible version, which then they'll have to struggle to keep alive as the foundation issues constantly updates and new versions.
I mean, if you've talked, then what's the reaction been inside Symbian with all the staff there? I'm guessing that, you know, management would be aware of this, but what about the actual Symbian coders? What sort of reaction are you getting back from them?
So yesterday was the day in which the whole company was briefed fully about this. And in some ways it might be too early to judge the reaction. It was very interesting. There was lots of factual questions saying, well, how does this open source stuff work? And exactly how the team's going to be combined? They're engineers. They're asking technical, practical questions. Everybody can see that this is a way to realize the vision we've spoken about, Symbian being the most widely used software on the planet. People can see the potential for a faster development with our partners through the closer working relationships. People are naturally, as with any big change, they're wondering, well, exactly how is this going to work out and what role exactly will I have in this new combined organization? So there's that air of slight uncertainty, which is, I think, inevitable in a change like this. But we all know we've got lots of jobs to keep doing hard in the next 6 to 9 months to keep the existing project commitments underway. And I was looking at the internal discussion database last night, and there's certainly some discussion of the change, but there's a whole lot of discussion on practical issues which the company is facing in different projects. Oh, here's how we might solve this technical challenge, or here's another idea, and so on. It's very much a business as usual, despite the exciting announcement.
And a final question just for myself that has got some depth to it. The Eclipse public license has been chosen. Any specific reason why that license and not something a little bit more broad-minded like the GPL?
So this has been viewed quite carefully. The GPL isn't well-loved by... there are many business people who don't really like the GPL that much. They fear that it's difficult to work with. It's quite clear that if you work with it and you develop new software based on it, then you must continue to license everything under GPL, whereas the Eclipse public license has many of the same aspects, but is viewed as by many people as being a bit more business friendly. So I think we'll discuss that more as the months unfold and we explain exactly how we see this working.
And a final personal question, David. You were the VP over at Symbian. You were the VP at Psion. Do you move into that similar role at Nokia, or are you regarding this as your last great victory?
Well, there's much, much more to be done. We have 206 million smartphones shipped already. Personally, I'm waiting to see the day when we can reach 1 billion. Can't put a date on it, so there's no forecast here, but there's certainly a plausible future, and I look forward to that happening, and then goodness knows even more. So although it's been an exciting past, I think the best is yet to come.
Well, there we go. David, thank you very much for taking the time. I'm guessing your desk is very busy at the moment, more so than normal. So for myself and everybody all about Symbian, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.